Welcome to Couch Buddies. I'm Kia.
I'm Michelle.
And we are, we're going back, is it back to Nancy Myers? Have we done her movies yet?
We have, The Holiday.
That's right. Okay. I know it's a terrible sin that I sometimes get Nancy Myers and Nora Ephron movies mixed up.
I do too. You're not alone.
Rosa Diaz would make fun of me for it. But anyway.
Well, it's because Rosa Diaz is awesome.
Well, so. Nancy Myers is her.
Her favorite.
Is,
I know.
Is her favorite. Yeah.
I'm aware. I just watched that with my sister.
Anyway. Completely off topic right at the beginning, but we're covering Something's Gotta Give.
Something's Gotta Give is a 2003 film. It stars Jack Nicholson, Diane Keaton, Amanda Peet, Keanu Reeves, Frances McDormand, and Jon Favreau in a small role that got cut down. Yes. It was supposed to be a lot more, and it got cut down. It was directed and written by Nancy Myers, mm-hmm. who also directed and wrote The Holiday, and It's Complicated, the movie The Intern. Mm-hmm. She directed the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap. She did not write that, but she directed. She wrote Father of the Bride Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, a lot of stuff that
she was also. She also had something to do with the first Father of the Bride. Well, not the first, because that was.
Yeah, but I don't think she. I think she worked as, like, a behind-the-scenes stuff. Like, she did script.
She was also on Baby Boom, too.
I did not go that far back, because I was like, these are, that's good to establish, like, who she is.
Yeah. No, for me, I just happened to, because once again, I knew, like, I was getting it confused mm-hmm. as to what she had done and, what was her and what was Nora Ephron. And so I looked at her IMDb list, and I just kind of kept going back, and I was like, good God, she's worked with Diane Keaton a lot.
Yeah, oh, she loves Diane.
Who doesn't?
True. It has an IMDb score of 6.7 out of 10, and a Rotten mm-hmm. Tomatoes of 72%.
Good.
Okay. So that's the stats.
I don't know what number I was expecting, but that one surprised me for some reason.
I'm going to be up front before you give a thing. I actually really like this movie. I own this movie. It has two commentary tracks. I only got through one. The second one was Nancy Myers and Jack Nicholson, and I couldn't do it. Like, I was like, I'm not going to subject myself to, 2 hours of Jack Nicholson. As much as he's good in this movie, I'm not going to subject myself to that.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Before we dive too deeply into it, if you've not seen this movie, the synopsis is, and I'm taking this from IMDb, it was the only one that made any sense at all. Like, there was one of these synopses that it was so long, and I started reading it. I'm like, I don't, like, have you actually made a complete sentence yet? What? I was like, give me a red pen. I need to edit this. But anyway, the one, like, synopsis that I found that actually, like, made sense the way that it was written is, Harry Sanborn is an aged music industry exec with a fondness for younger women like Marin, his latest trophy girlfriend. Things get a little awkward when Harry suffers a heart attack at the home of Marin's mother, Erica. Left in the care of Erica and his doctor, a love triangle starts to take shape.
So during the commentary, because I listened to the commentary with Nancy Myers and her producer, and Diane Keaton shows up for maybe a half hour.
Yeah.
They never call them by the character names.
No.
When Keanu shows up, she calls him Dr. Reeves. Like, Nancy Myers calls him Dr. Reeves. And I laughed so hard. And then it's just Keanu for the rest of the movie.
Yeah. But, I hadn't watched this movie in a while.
Yeah.
But I remembered loving it. And I still do. I just was not in the right frame of mind to watch it because my... Oh my God, there were times in this movie, like, I would just kind of, like, flopped dramatically off the side of my sofa, like, hurry up! Like, the fact that this movie is, like, 2 hours and 8 minutes long, I'm like, I don't know what you would cut, but for the love of God, something.
The original cut was 2 hours and 45 minutes, and she cut... She cut that far down.
My entire body just seized.
She cut out basically all of Jon Favreau's part. She cut out a lot of stuff with Keanu Reeves and Jon Favreau. She cut out, like, a couple of really good Jon Favreau, Keanu Reeves scenes, apparently. She cut out stuff like that. She cut out, like, I forget what else she said she cut out. But, yeah, she was really mad she had to cut out a couple of things. And then she's like, I left this scene. One of them, she's like, I left this scene in there because my daughter would literally kill me if I cut it out.
I don't know. There were just some specific scenes that, again, this is totally the frame of mind that I was in because, you know, when I watched it last night, I had worked until about 5:15, 5:20.
Uh-huh.
I had to fight traffic to get over to Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Walmart for over an hour. Like, my blood sugar dropped.
Oh, no fun.
I came home. I, like, scarfed down some food and then, like, started watching the movie after fighting with Disney Plus for, like, 45 minutes. And so, like, by the time, like, I finally started the movie and, like, kept pausing it to, like, take notes and stuff, it was almost 11 o'clock by the time I finished the movie. And I was like, I just want to go to bed. So
you wanted to finish faster. I understand.
Yes. There were just definitely, like, a few moments that I'm like, okay, this scene is about 10 seconds longer than it needs to be. Let's just pick up the pace. Come on.
See, whereas there's actually something I'm going to, like, I'll do it now. She actually made a comment in the thing that I wrote down. This is, like, Nancy Marsh talking. She used long cuts of scenes because if you really want to believe people are connecting, you don't just talk in quips or half-page scenes. You have to linger longer. And she commented, like, specifically she tried to make things longer in this movie, like scenes.
Yes.
Because she said, I feel like there's a pull at 2003. There's a pull in the industry to go shorter and quippier. And she wanted to actively fight against that.
Yeah. So
there's a reason to it.
No.
There's a method to the madness.
And I totally get that. Like, yeah. I'm not putting it down. It was just, there were just times that, like, I don't know, that there were just scenes that I was like, okay, like, this maybe just a little bit shorter. Like, I think specifically, like, it was the moment where, like, it's Harry, it's after his, like, after the, after the whole, like, not breakup, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The whole, like, fight scene with Erica.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, and he goes back and, like, he has his second, like, heart episode or, like, his first panic attack.
Yeah.
And he comes back in and just, I don't know, that whole scene of, like, him sitting there, like, with his phone and kind of, like, wandering around on that,
mm-hmm.
On that landing. I was like, okay, I get what we're going for here, but this didn't need to be like 3 minutes. It's just like a couple of little things like that.
Yeah, I understand.
And it might be because I've seen it before, and like I'm not like trying to tear down Nancy Myers in any way, shape, or form.
We did that a little bit in the holiday already, so it's fine.
A little bit, yeah. But yeah, like I think this movie is great, but like when I paused it and I realized that I was an hour and 3 minutes in and things had only like just happened with Erica and Harry.
Yeah, it's a build up.
I just was like, wow, okay. And like any other director, I probably would have flipped a table.
Well, I think the only reason I think it's okay is because you have to establish Harry the dog is changing.
Yes.
Because otherwise he's not worth Erica. Like, let's put it that way. And like you have to, I think that's why I was okay with it taking so long. Like, we're in very different headspace about it. Cause I loved the buildup. I was like, this is, yes, I love it. Slow burn. Yeah. It's great.
And I have also having been sick earlier this week, like did not like help my mood any.
Yeah.
I have always loved this movie and I still love it.
Yeah.
There were just times that for me, it felt like this is going to sound ridiculous, but there were just a couple of times that those prolonged scenes. And I know like this is something that like I harp on all the time that like I wish like some movies would like give the chance for like the characters to breathe or like for a scene to breathe. And I fully, like, I understand. I'm like,
and in this one, you were waiting for him to catch his breath because it's like, okay, come on.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
The, it was like, but there were definitely times that, like, just some of the stuff going on, like, it felt like it was dragging. And then, like, all of a sudden, Keanu Reeves would, like, swan in. And I was just like, oh, thank God we have life.
He's the best thing in this movie.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm going to say something right now. Julian deserved better. I'm just going to say
with you.
Julian is the best thing in this movie. That's Keanu Reeves' character, Julian Mercer. And he had the Matt Mercer hair going in this movie, too. So they said Dr. Mercer. And I was like, wait, what? Like, that's his name? That's amazing.
Because you and I had recently covered Walk in the Clouds.
It's been only a few movies ago.
Yeah, a couple of movies ago, we covered Walk in the Clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, earlier on, we did The Lake House.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's the writing or if it's just the chemistry that he had with this particular cast or whatever. This is like, in A Walk in the Clouds, in that episode, I did talk about how he has a couple of moments where he goes a little wooden. This is the least wooden I have ever seen him.
Yes.
Like, this is the most natural acting he has ever done. He is
so flippin' animated in this movie.
He is.
Like, it reminds you of why, like, because, like, Bill and Ted is probably the least wooden I've ever seen him, because he's so loose and goofy and goofy.
Well, yeah, his early stuff, like, when he was doing more, like, comedic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, that's kind of, like, what this is.
And then he got serious, and this one he gets to be serious and comedic at the same time. Like,
it's not that he gets to be serious. He gets to be earnest.
Earnest. He's a real person in this movie. He's a real boy. And I love him so much. And there's one scene that he ad-libbed something, and they left it in, and I'm going to talk about it when we get to it, because I love it. So, when I heard Nancy Meyers say he ad-libbed this moment, I lost my...
Fuck, I want to know.
Okay, so after he's reading the play.
Yo, that!
When he, like...
Must we do this every time? Must we go through this every time?
No.
No?
The getting off the couch and chasing him. Because what happens is she's finished her play. She's a playwright. We find this out. We'll go over the whole thing.
But God!
He's reading her play, and she kisses him awkwardly because she feels really awkward about the whole situation. Turns out Diane Keaton felt massively awkward with him because of how young he is.
Yeah.
She felt very awkward in love scenes with him. Yeah. She talks about that a little bit because he's so beautiful. She's like, he's such a beautiful person.
Uh-huh.
And so she felt really awkward in scenes with him because she's a little bit older than him.
Yeah.
In the movie, she's 20 years older than him. Mm-hmm. I didn't check real life, but I would guess it's probably a similar age difference. But yeah, so she leans over and kisses him and then goes, nope, gotta pull back and walk away. And he just, like, very sexily, I might add, crawls over the top of the couch because his legs are so dang long. he climbs over the top of the couch and she just, like, giggles and runs. Yeah, totally. Yeah. The getting off the couch ad lib. That was just him.
I absolutely love that.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, him chasing her into the other room, total ad lib moment. And Nancy Meyers goes, it was so sweet. I could not take it out of the movie. And there's another moment that she left in that was a mistake.
Yeah.
But she said it would just... The moment in the beginning when Diane Keaton almost falls, when Erica almost falls in the market.
Oh, yeah.
And I forgot his name. I was going to say Jack.
Harry.
Harry, like, grabs her arm and steadies her.
Yeah.
That was Diane Keaton almost went down and Nicholson saved her. Like, that was an actual, like, thing. And she goes, and it just gave the moment, that moment, something.
Yeah.
That she didn't expect it to. And, like, I love that she's willing to do that in these movies. Like, she's willing to go, they brought something to this moment that I never anticipated. And, like, everybody was all love Keanu all the time in the one commentary I listened to. There's, like I said, there are two tracks, and I did not listen to the second one partially because I did it all today. So I would have had to watch the movie three times. Yeah. And I fast-forwarded through a little bit of the commentary stuff. Because I kind of wanted to hear a few things, because once again, I want an alternate ending. Like, I know I shouldn't, but I kind of do.
Probably my biggest problem with this movie is that we don't get, because the ending is all about Harry giving closure to all of these women, and that we get no closure with Julian.
Yes, it's heartbreaking. Like, she tells us what he said.
Yes.
But, like, I wanted that scene because you watch it happen in Keanu, but you almost don't need it because you see it happen in Keanu's eyes. You see it
happen.
Oh, it's so good. Anyway, we show up with the actual movie and then we'll come back to how amazing Keanu is.
This is what we do.
I know. Because, like, the other thing that I would trim, this is just me, the opening monologue. I don't like how long it goes. I don't like that Harry's not in it. Because, see, in the original one, apparently that's a deleted scene. One of the things she had to pull for time. He is at dinner at that restaurant the movie ends at.
Mm.
At the very beginning, he's on a date with a young woman, and he's explaining this to her.
Yeah.
Like, the opening monologue that he gives.
But, whole...
because it doesn't close with that, the opening monologue feels out of place to me.
It does. I felt that this time, that the opening monologue was kind of jarring. And also just the whole...
Because it's literally an opening monologue of him explaining why he dates younger women.
Yeah.
And basically that, you know...
I think this might be the other reason why the opening, like, really irritated me so much, is that it's set to Crazy Town's Butterfly.
There's a reason for that.
I get it. I know the song... Like, I get it.
No, it's because it was the only hip-hop song that Nancy Meyers could stand. Because she said we wanted it to be this part to be from Harry's perspective, and Harry is a music executive of a hip hop label. And so she said we wanted a hip hop song there because this is the only one that I could stand to listen to long enough to put it in.
Which
here.
That kind of makes me question Nancy Meyers' taste. Cause like I love that song.
To me, based on what she says later, because Diane Keaton, I don't know if this is true, but I feel like Erica is very much a vehicle for Nancy Meyers in this movie.
Yes,
in a lot of ways.
She has one in each of them.
When she makes that comment about hip hop music being awful, I think that's Nancy Meyers' commentary as much as that's anything else.
No,
she's not a fan of hip hop music.
I
or at least she wasn't at this point.
I think a large part.
Sugar.
I've never wanted to punch you as much as I do this moment. For me, like, okay. One, that song was, like, ubiquitous. It was all over the goddamn place in the early 2000s.
Which is 2003, so it makes sense.
Yes. Understandable. Like, it was everywhere. I know it was in Orange County. It was in, like, quite a few movies, like, made at that time. My big issue with it is that I went to the Beale Street Music Festival in, like, 2002, 2003, like, with my dad and a friend and my aunt, and Crazy Town was, like, we went to the festival because we wanted to see Vertical Horizon. They were playing on the same stage after Crazy Town. We had to sit through Crazy Town's performance, and let me tell you, that entire crowd was nothing but white fucklord douche nozzles. And I just have like an allergic reaction to that song now, because I just remember I'm like shirtless douchey white dudes who are drunk.
Fair.
And I'm just like, I can't do it. So yeah, I almost like stopped the movie right then when Butterfly came on. Ugh, I hate it.
But yeah, anyway. We open, like I said, with his monologue explaining to us why he dates younger women.
Yeah.
And then
people say I'm an expert on younger women. Guess that's because I've been dating them for 40 years.
I actually wrote that down too. I was like, Henry's been dating young women for 40 years. You find out in the movie he's 63 and he is dating Marin, who is 25-ish. Between 25 and 30. We don't have an exact age. But yeah, so the movie cuts to him driving with Marin.
She's 29.
29, okay.
Yeah, sorry, I just remember that gets mentioned.
He's driving with Marin in the Hamptons. They're going to her mom's house in the Hamptons that she owns, to which he responds, your mom is massively wealthy. And she's like, I don't know about that. He's like, she has a house in the Hamptons.
Yeah, she lives in this neighborhood. She does. Yeah,
yeah, she's got a house anywhere within 20 miles of here. She's wealthy. And so they get to the house, and sexy times are going to ensue, which is just mind-boggling for me on a personal level. I'm going to be honest, like, the age differences in this movie, only his and hers bother me. Keanu and Diane Keaton doesn't bother me at all. And I think that's because Keanu Reeves has chemistry with a freaking, like,
well, okay, it's not just that. Other than, like, the movie Harold and Maude.
Yeah.
When do we ever see an older woman with a younger man?
That's fair.
Until one of the later seasons of Grace and Frankie.
Yeah, that's fair.
Where Grace is with
Peter Gallagher's
character. I was like, I can't remember his character's
Peter
name.
Gallagher.
Peter Gallagher, yeah. Oh. It basically is Peter Gallagher. But you know, it's... We don't see that.
The other thing with me is I just didn't feel any chemistry between him and Amanda Peet. Like, I actually didn't mind that because of where they end up at the end of the movie. I think it makes kind of sense. Like, yeah, she's young and hot, so he goes for it because that's just the kind of guy he is. But well, also, the two of them, the other thing is...
I didn't interrupt. I was just going to say, it's not so much like a chemistry. Like, they have a good, like, affection with one another.
Yeah.
But there's no, like, there's not
I don't
so
feel
much
any sexy chemistry.
Yeah.
But like, the other thing is, where was I going to go?
I'm so sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. Oh, the other thing I kind of like about them is they both know what this is.
Yeah.
They're, like, maybe that's not always the truth in his other relationships, as we find out toward the end of the movie, but he and Mirren, they both know what this is going into it. Mm-hmm. There, to me, there's no, like, actual, like, this is going to be a future relationship forever.
He's very straightforward with the fact of, like, he's a love him and leave him type. And that's all that she dates. Because, you know, as we find out later, is, like, she watched her parents, you know, divorce.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to fall in love because, like, she doesn't want to be with a person who can make her that crazy and make her come unglued.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's like she and Harry both, like, they've basically just, like, gentlemen's agreements. Like, we both know.
Yeah, we know this isn't going anywhere. We're cool with each other, but there's not anything that's going to happen other than a weekend of sex, because they haven't had sex yet, which I think is an excellent choice on Nancy Meyer's part, because otherwise things that happen later would be super
weird. Otherwise then it turns into no strings attached. Remember Kevin Klein?
You mean Rumor Has It?
No. I was going to say, because, like...
Oh, yeah, no strings attached. Yeah,
no strings attached.
I was thinking Rumor Has It, where Jennifer Aniston... No. We haven't covered that yet, but Jennifer Aniston sleeps with Kevin Costner, who also slept with her mother.
No. I was just thinking... And her grandmother. I was going to say, like, this basically just turns into... It's like, oh, no. It's like I broke up with my boyfriend, and now you're married. Yeah. Like, now you're married to my boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, because in Rumor Has It, Costner sleeps with Aniston, her mother, and her grandmother. Mm-hmm. Like, he slept with all three of them
I remember the premise. I just don't like Kevin Costner enough to ever, like, care to see that movie.
That's fair.
I know we're going to get to it one day.
I own it because I think it was in a two-pack. That's why I own it.
Until Hidden Figures, there was, like, one Kevin Costner movie that I actually enjoyed watching, and that was a terrible, like, psychological thriller movie called Dragonfly.
Oh, I watched that with you.
Yeah.
We watched that in college.
Yes.
But anyway, so Harry and she, like, she's stripping off her clothes because they're going to go take a swim. But, like, I love the part where she tells him she's nervous about sleeping with him.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, well, then just go get your bathing suit. We'll put champagne on ice. Like, he's really good about, like, I'm going to put you at ease. Like, this isn't like, we're good.
Like, for as much as, you know, men are pigs.
Yeah.
And, like, he is a pig.
Yes, 100%.
Especially, at the very beginning of this movie.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, he's not, he could be Barney Stinson and he's not.
Yeah. He's nice, but he doesn't pressure her.
Yeah.
And he just, like, okay, that's, if you're not, like, you're fine. Just go get your bathing suit on. We'll go swimming. We'll relax. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to put the champagne in the fridge, and one problem with this weekend of sex and fun. Her mother's there with her aunt,
mm-hmm.
played by her mother's Diane Keaton, named Erica, and her aunt is Frances McDormand. I don't remember her name, Zoe. I love Frances McDormand in this movie.
Oh my God, I didn't get it down, but, like, her rant about, you know, like, women over 50 are basically just, like, put on the shelf and, like, you know, I wanted to stand up and applaud that.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck
it. It did make things a little awkward for him, which was,
yeah.
And it also made, you know, sister pissed off, and it was great.
I also think watching this movie now, because, dear listener, at the time we are recording this, I think it was just last week that, like, Keanu Reeves had...
it was recently, yeah.
It's been within, like, the last week or so that Keanu Reeves took, like, the woman that he's dating to a red carpet. And she is age-appropriate.
Yeah.
And, like, she's in her, you know... She's in
her 40s.
She's in her late 40s. And so everybody's like, oh my God, that's incredible.
Well, because Keanu Reeves is the perfect man. We all know this already. I don't know where people have been sleeping on Keanu. It was like sleep on Keanu Reeves being the best person ever.
Like,
but he's the best person ever.
Yeah.
Like, let's just all accept that.
But the week before that, it was announced that Dennis Quaid, who is in his 60s, is marrying a 26-year-old.
Yeah.
And so I had both of those things kind of, like, coloring my experience of watching this movie. Well,
and the older I get, the less age difference stuff bothers me. I know that sounds weird. Now, like, 18, like the Dennis Quaid one's a little whiffy for me. But, like, one of my favorite actors in the entire universe is married to someone 40 or 50 years younger than him. And they're adorable and love each other. And it's really cute. And so
it took me a second to remember who that was.
Yeah, it's Dick Van Dyke. Like, Dick Van Dyke married her when he was in his 80s and she was in her 40s. And I don't have a problem with that one.
Okay.
And it's life experience is a big piece
of
it. Yes. And so like that.
It's
but,
the life experience.
And Holland, because there's Holland Taylor and her wife, or I don't know if their wife, but her significant other, who is on American Horror Story, and I forgot her name.
Oh, honey.
I can't remember who it is.
I'm literally trying, like, the only women that I know of on that show,
uh-huh.
or who have been on that show. Jessica Lange.
No.
Yeah, definitely not.
They're closer in age.
Kathy Bates.
No.
Sarah Paulson.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Holland Taylor and Sarah Paulson have been together for years.
Okay.
And that's a big age difference, too.
Yeah, but like I said, it's like experience.
It's not like 18 and 40.
A 60, like, and again, I'm talking, like, I am, yeah. when I'm throwing this shade, I am all, like, I'm directing this at Dennis Quaid. I'm like, a 60-something-year-old man and a 26-year-old woman have nowhere near the same life experience.
Oh, yeah, that's fair.
I was like, the fact that like, she's only been able, like, legally allowed to drink for the past couple of years, like, the fact that, like, I know people who have, like, bottles of wine who are older than her. And, you know, the way that somebody put it, Dennis Quaid did the movie Innerspace.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen this movie?
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's Dennis Quaid, it's Meg Ryan, and it is Martin Short.
Uh-huh.
It's a whole thing of, like, miniaturization, like, nanotechnology of, like, putting a person into essentially, like, a submersible kind of
mm-hmm.
thing and, like, being able to go inside the human body. And it's some, like, he's in Martin Short and, like, they can, like, communicate and things like that. And it's, like, wacky comedy stuff.
Okay.
At some point, something happens and, I think, like, Meg Ryan, like, ends up having to kiss Martin Short or something like that. He ends up in her body, does not realize it until as he's traveling through like her body, he realizes, oh, she's pregnant and it's his.
Lovely.
Yes. And so somebody pointed out that the fetus in that movie would be older than the woman he's marrying. And that's when I went, fuck you. Like I said, all like real life celebrity nonsense. It was yeah. like watching this movie. I'm like, oh, fuck men. Seriously.
But so he, like I said, he and Amanda Peet, which is Marin, they have this, they end up, he's like, I'm going to go back home. Like whenever he runs into Zoe and Erica, he's like, I'm going to put my pants on and leave. Like, this is awkward. Bye. And then finally you get Zoe going, we're all adults here. This is dumb. I have papers to grade. Erica needs to write because she's working on her next play. You guys need to do whatever you're going to do. We're all adults. Let's just be adults. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not a big deal. I disagree with Zoe a little bit in that it's a little weird. It's a little weird. Like, you thought you were going somewhere for a sexcapade weekend with your boyfriend, and now your mom is there? Even if they were of an appropriate age, it would be a little weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and mom doesn't approve, clearly, of Harry. But yeah, so they, like, we have,
how could she?
Yeah, they're going through this, you know, little, all this stuff. Like, they go into the town, and mom speaks really great, Erica speaks really great French, and so she's ordering stuff in French from the deli there, and, you know, Marin and Harry are in the same thing. That's the part where Marin walks off, and he watches Marin walk off in a disgusting manner, but it's really funny because you know nothing is going to happen by this point, because he's already rubbed his chest twice, and I'm like, oh, here it comes.
Yeah.
So that's the part where he bumps into Erica, and she almost falls, and he catches her. But they have this really great, and this is so weird to say, but Jack Nicholson, I'm good. Cause like, I am not the biggest Nicholson fan.
I'm not either.
In this movie, his banter with Diane Keaton is so fun. Like, he gets her, like they get each other almost immediately in a weird way. Well, not just because of life experience. They just get each other. It's a weird, I like it.
It's one. I'm like, it's been so long. Like, before this, I mean, like, I know this movie is, you know, like, 15 years old at this point, but, like, even before then, I'm like, it had been so long since Nicholson had done anything other than being, like, you know, the heavy in a movie, or, like, being the villain, or, like, just being somebody, like, scary and intimidating.
Yeah.
And, like, before that, you know, like the only time, like, he had taken a turn from, you know, because, like, I'm thinking of him being in stuff like, you know, like, obviously The Shining and, you know, he had done The Departed and
Batman,
like, Batman. And, you know, like, he's always playing these, like, even when he is trying to be just like very suave and charming, just like the nature of his grin, there is something sinister to it. That's and good. Yeah, like it feels like I want to say like the only like non kind of, you know, intimidating characters that he had played was the character in oh my God, As Good As It Gets.
So it was the Helen Hunt one?
Yes.
I haven't
like,
seen that.
And then, you know, he plays a man like with OCD and like he's, you know, basically agoraphobic and all this. And so even though like he's having to break out of his comfort zone and interact, like actually interact and form relationships with people, once again, it's like he's still, you know, like not, and you know, with Helen Hunt, she's not like much, much younger than him, but there is still, you know, a good like 15, 20 year age difference.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not 40 years like it is in this movie, but it's still enough that, you know, that it's commented on in the movie of like, you know, why essentially like, why would, you know, like a young girl, like a, you know, young, vibrant woman like you want to be with like an, you know, crotchety old man like me kind of thing. And so, you know, there was still like that dynamic. And so in this movie, like, it feels like it had been like such a long time since he had been with someone age appropriate.
Yeah.
And like fair. Been matched, and especially being matched with someone like, who is also like a powerhouse.
Yeah, because Diane Keaton is such a powerhouse as an actress. Like, just such a powerhouse.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
like, I think she's incredible.
And Ben, the other thing is, their dialogue feels very natural to me.
Yes, it like, really does.
Like, it flows so naturally. You don't feel like they're reading lines. You feel like this is a mm-hmm. conversation two people are having. Mm-hmm. Like, she mocks him for being the head of a hip-hop label, which is a totally mockable thing. He's a 63-year-old white dude who grew up in L.A., and has been owning companies and record labels for his entire life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's not the person you'd expect to be the head of a label. My husband and I are watching Veronica Mars right now, and we just got to an episode with Anthony Anderson, who's the head of a hip-hop label.
Uh-huh.
And Anthony Anderson playing a heavy is super weird, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing in that episode. Everything else is great. That weirds me out. But because I've seen Anthony Anderson as just comedic Anthony Anderson for so yes. long. But yeah, so like I had that, like you have that mental picture of like you're that type of character. Mm-hmm. And so then you read the head of a hip hop label and you're like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that like she kind of makes fun of him a little bit because she doesn't consider mm-hmm. hip hop real music. And he says that some people call it poetry. And she's like, yeah, if you like misogyny and da-da-da-da-da-da-da and goes through the litany, which is why I think Nancy Myers yeah. doesn't like. Because not all rap music is like that. But I understand where she's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so they have that conversation. It's fun. Then we have dinner. Everybody's having a big dinner together, which once again, I'm like, this is a little weird. But it comes out during dinner, he was once engaged to Diane Sawyer.
Mm-hmm. Which I do.
Who was, for those of you who don't know, really, like, she's like Barbara Walters. Like, she's the, like they talk about. She used to go on, she doesn't do anymore, obviously.
But
she used to go, like, on the front lines and do reporting, and she's been, like, the first person into, like, first reporter into a lot of, like, situations. Yeah, like, and,
you know,
she's a big deal. She's Diane Sawyer.
She is. She's, you know, she's a very, you know, like, very important, like, you know, she went from being like a morning, like daytime journalist
yeah.
to like, you know, to a, you know, nighttime news anchor.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she's up there yeah. in the big leagues.
And Nancy Myers said the reason she wanted it had to be Diane Sawyer. There's no one else she could think of it could be because she wanted to establish he could get a woman of substance.
Yes, he could.
He's not, you know, a waste of space human mm-hmm. being. He just typically doesn't want to put the work into necessarily being with like he is a person of substance who is not an idiot is essentially what she said.
Yes.
Which is why Diane Sawyer was the only choice she could think of. So she emailed Diane Sawyer to ask Diane Sawyer's permission.
Yeah.
And she's like, she goes, I sweated out that email for so long. And she gave permission. I was like, oh, thank goodness. Cause I have no idea where I would have gone with this scene otherwise.
Oh, God, yeah.
But yeah, so you get this, like, and that's when you get the really great
the rant from Zoe. Well, because it, you know, it's mentioned during this dinner, like, once Zoe kind of starts like poking and prodding of the that's interesting, you know, yeah. kind of like
because she's a women's studies professor.
That's what I was about to say is that she teaches women's studies at Columbia. But yeah, it's I don't remember where I was going to go.
I interrupted you. I'm so sorry. You were talking about the,
no, you're fine.
The rant. So I thought you were going to the rant. That's what I was going to let you
know. No.
Yeah, basically the rant is just like my beautiful sister, who is over 50 and has, you know, one of the most successful playwrights since, I'm a horrible person because I didn't know who they were talking about because I don't know playwrights very well, but most successful female playwright since Lily somebody. And
yeah, my knowledge of playwrights, it's like very old.
Yeah.
Playwrights and then like very, very new playwrights. Like there's like this whole span in the middle that I'm like, huh?
Yeah. So she said, you know, my sister is this really successful person and she stays home night after night after night. And you're watching her sister's face at this point, like, I'm going to commit murder. Because right before that, she's been like, you know, you as a man, they write articles about you because you've never been married and they, you know, put you on this pedestal and you're,
if you were a woman, you would be a spinster.
You'd be vilified. Yeah. You'd be called vilified. a spinster and all that kind of stuff. And he's kind of like, you kind of feel like, I don't want to, I feel a little bit bad for Harry because he didn't ask for this. Like, he's not tried to talk about himself once.
No.
It's always the girls poking and prodding at him and the women rather. Mm-hmm. And Marin is sitting there like, thanks guys. This is great.
Yeah.
I appreciate so much what you're doing. Cause it cuts from her sister's rant to Erica breaking a plate in the kitchen. Cause she's dropped it. Cause she's like, thanks for that rant. You could have stopped after one night after night. You didn't need to keep going. Like, you've made me look like a loser basically.
Yeah.
It's like, thanks for that. And she's like, but no, I just thought I was onto something. It was interesting. Which, we're those kind of people.
Yes.
So, like, I totally understand, Zoe. But, yeah, so then you have Marin has gone off to spend the evening with him. Let's Get It On is suddenly playing in the back. And
that did make me laugh when they were like, wait, what is that? Oh, God, really? Like,
and then they start like, you know, like dancing stupidly and stuff. And then all of a sudden you hear Marin screaming.
Yeah.
And she goes, did she just say mom? And then she yells again, mom, hurry. He's having a heart attack. And luckily for him, Erica knows CPR. So she's able to keep his heart beating in a rhythm and stuff. Take him in. That's where we get wonderful Dr. Julian Mercer, played by Mr. Keanu Reeves, who we've already like talked about how wonderful he is in this movie, but he's very, very wonderful. And I'm sure that's not the last time we're going to talk about it.
Oh God, no.
But he, you know, it's really great when he's at the Viagra scene. It's really funny to me. I know it shouldn't be.
No, it's
because he's like, what kind of medicines are you on? He's like, I'm on Lipitor. I'm on, you know, this other
like
one.
On this, like, you and know, goes, a white one for, you know, blood pressure.
Have you taken any Viagra today?
He's like, no. Well, and the three women
are peeked around the corner watching.
And like,
this.
He, like, they're within, like, they're within his eye line. He's like, no, he's absolutely like, not.
Nope. And he goes, like, well, I'm only asking because if you did, I put nitroglycerin in there and it could kill you. And he just like quickly, like Harry
rips out the IV
and yanks his own IV out and like spills stuff all over the place. It's great, but yeah, so
it's a good comedic moment.
Yeah. So then Dr. Reeves, Dr. Mercer comes out, and when he's introduced to them, he finds out who Erica is and is immediately
Hold on, first, like it's once again, like putting, you know, a fine point on the age difference of these characters is that he comes up to Eric, or not Eric, Marin. He comes up to Marin and says, he's like, you know, don't worry, it's gonna be okay. Like, you know, your dad's gonna be fine. Well, he's not my dad. I'm sorry, your granddad's gonna be fine.
And she doesn't even respond, she just hugs him.
Yeah.
Because technically 40 years older than her would be old enough to be a grandparent.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, and then he's introduced to him and she goes, I'm Erica, I forgot her last name.
Barry.
I'm Erica Barry. And he, like, he hears Erica Barry and he's like, huh?
Oh.
What? She's his favorite playwright.
Yeah.
And he's immediately Twitter-pated with her.
I love, you know, like, he ends up, like, sitting down, like, with all three of them.
He goes and gets them tea.
Brings them tea and all of this. And he is just absolutely, like, just infatuated with Erica. And to the complete exclusion of Zoe and Merritt.
But Zoe and Merritt are staring at him doe-eyed, too.
Yeah.
Because he's Keanu Reeves.
And Erica's completely oblivious. And, you know, and, like, he's telling her, he's like, you know, he's like, I'm a big fan. Like, I love your work. He's like, I've seen all of your plays. He's like, you know, the last one, you know,
I saw twice.
The last one I saw twice. And she's like, oh, I'm sure you're not old enough for that. She's like, there's some that, you know, even Merritt hasn't seen.
A few of them.
Yeah, a few that Merritt hasn't seen. And he's like, no, I've seen them all.
Because she's like, you're too, she's like, you know, because she really wants her daughter.
Yes.
She's like, daughter and a nice doctor? This is perfect.
Yes.
But he's not interested.
He's so fucking charming.
He can't even look at Marin for 1 or 2 seconds. Well, he can't take his eyes off of Erica.
Yeah,
I love it.
Like, he gets called away, and I love, you know, like, immediately, like, as soon as he's gone, Erica turns to Marin and is like, now that was, like, that is an appropriate man for you. Like, he is adorable. And Marin just goes, oh my God, Mom, please. I have never seen a man less interested in me.
And so he's like, yeah, he's young, he's attractive, he's got the hots for you. And she's like, no, he doesn't.
No.
Because she just can't.
She's like, completely oblivious.
Which you would, like, I can understand that. But yeah, so Harry's going to be relieved. Harry, that's when Jon Favreau shows up the next day. And he's assistant.
We get Loopy Harry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Loopy Harry comes out and we see Jack Nicholson's butt, which I don't really care about one way or the other. It's funny when he dances with her, though.
It's the chaos of the moment.
Yeah,
like, I've talked about this before. I'm like, I'm a fan of controlled
that's
chaos.
Funny. Yeah, that part's
it's
funny.
Just a funny moment of, like,
because he just wanders out there like Loopy.
Yeah.
And immediately Marin rushes over. He's like, Harry, come on, let's get you. But Marin is 29, and she is, even at 29, she's very, like, I would say still scattered. Like I thought she was younger.
She's a bit flighty.
I thought she was younger than that.
She acts younger.
Because she acts younger. And
it's basically the equivalent of, like, she has her professional life pulled together.
Yeah.
But her personal life
she
is
doesn't
just,
adult. She doesn't really know how to adult. So, like, her mom comes up and is like, go get a nurse. And she's, like, trying to hold mm-hmm. Harry. And Harry, like, just almost collapses face into her bosom. And then starts dancing with her. And, like, finally the nurses come and take him back to the room. And he's got to go to the bathroom. So they have to, like,
they
run
basically
down the
end up chasing him down the hallway. It's just,
it's so funny.
It's just one of those moments of, like, getting to see, like, I've not, like, the biggest fan of Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I will appreciate, you know, like, the fact, like, the man has done some good work. And like, it's not always my cup of tea, but,
yeah.
But very rarely, like, do we see him just get to be, like, straight up comedic like that.
And he has a couple of really good comedic beats in this movie.
He does. And so,
So next day, Jon Favreau, who is his main personal mm-hmm. assistant, shows up. They're going to take him back to the city. But he collapses
outside the hospital,
and so he has to stay.
No travel. Stay nearby for the next few days.
They were going to put him back in the hospital, and he fights it. So Keanu Reeves' character is just like, okay, if you'll stay close by, I can do that. And he's like, well, where am I going to go? Cut to
everybody looking at Erica.
And they're at Erica's house, and it's chaos.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, they set him up there, and it's going to be a few days before he can leave.
And everybody heads back to the city except for
leaving Erica and Harry
are there.
Yeah, leaving Harry and Erica alone.
And then he fires the nurse.
Yeah, the next day he fires the nurse immediately. Like, there's no... He also sees her naked before he fires the nurse.
Yeah.
Because it's like a weird, like, she's typing.
Well, what it is that, you know, they end up kind of having, you know, like, a conversation of, like, the fact that it's both, like, into, like, the wee small hours of the morning.
Yeah.
And, like, they're both still wide awake, and, you know, she's commenting on it, you know, like, shouldn't you be resting?
Because she only gets 4 hours of sleep a night, and
yeah,
he's the same way.
And, yeah, that neither of them, like, really sleep much.
Yeah, because she goes in there because he's smoking a cigar, and she's like, no, my freshly painted house is not going to smell like cigars. It's not happening. But yeah, so she finally sees his light go out, and she's gonna take a shower. So she takes her clothes off. The door to her room is still open, but she thinks he's in bed, so she's thinking about it. He actually is wandering around trying to find the kitchen and gets lost because it's a house he doesn't know. And he walks.
And all the lights are out.
And he falls into, like, he sees her naked and falls into the wall trying to cover his eyes. It's a very comedic scene.
It's just like, oh, Jesus.
And she's screaming because Diane Keaton screams better than anybody,
yes,
like, comedically. And so the screaming, so she feels very awkward the next day with him.
Yeah.
Until she finally decides to get over it later. But also that day, Dr. Mercer comes to give a physical to check on Harry.
Which when Julian with Dr. Mercer,
yeah.
when he's, you know, giving Harry, you know, a checkup, Julian, it, you know, a very subtle, like, so, you know, how's Erica? You know, just
yeah.
trying to play it like really cool. And Harry just goes, who? Oh, her. Like, he hasn't really even bothered to like remember Erica's yeah. name. And he's like, oh, her. Well, she's beyond uptight. And you know, they have this whole conversation.
Yeah.
And it's just like, once again, I'm like, Keanu.
Keanu's awesome.
I love him. Because, you know, because Harry, like, basically, you know, saying, like, she's beyond uptight. And how, basically, saying, like, she's so uptight, like, she's almost fun to mess with.
Yeah.
But, like, not quite. And how, you know, goes explaining the whole thing of, like, how he accidentally saw her naked. And it's like, and so, like, because of that, it's like, you know, she's avoided him like the plague and all of this. And, you know, and that's when Harry comments, he's like, you know, like, I don't think I've
ever seen a woman my own age.
Yeah, a woman my own age naked. And Julian just kind of, you know, he just kind of nods. He kind of takes it in stride and he's like, and he's putting away his.
Really?
Well, he's kind of surprised, but, you know, he goes about like putting away his instruments and stuff. And then he just basically comes, it's like, look, I think she's very beautiful. You know?
Yeah, he's like, I think she's beautiful. And Harry kind of has to think about that because he's not like, actually looked at her.
Yeah.
Like, she's just, I hate to say this, but she's furniture right now.
Yeah. He's like, but yeah, just Julian is just, he's like, you know, says like he thinks, you know, she's very beautiful and like that she's a terrific writer.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's so smitten.
Well, and in this same conversation, basically, he gets, Harry asks when he can get back on the horse, basically.
Yeah.
And he says, well, if you can climb, the general rule of thumb is if you can climb a flight of stairs, you can have sex.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay. Thanks for letting me know that. Because the next thing you see is him looking up this long flat stairs.
Yeah.
And he's just like, okay. And he's like five stairs up and collapsing.
And it's just like.
Yeah. And yeah. Then in the kitchen, you have Julian and Erica, and they're kind of talking. And he's like, you know, you're doing a great, you know, kind of great job with him. And she gets a phone call, and he turns his prescription pad and writes down, will you go to
have dinner with me tonight?
And she hangs up the phone without even saying goodbye. Because she's like, wait, what?
She's so flabbergasted.
And she does agree to go to dinner with, she's with the patient. He doesn't need a nurse. He said so.
Yeah.
And so they go to dinner. My favorite quote at dinner is like, there's so many good quotes at dinner, by the way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because, well, before dinner, she goes on a nice long walk with him, like down the beach with Harry. And it's actually the length of walking down the beach and back. Like, it's kind of fun. And you know, she always picks up the white, smooth rocks.
Sea stones.
And he picks up a dark one to remember him by. And they have these conversations you can only have when you're both grown adults that have had a life.
When you have similar life experiences, yeah.
Because she's like, it goes by so fast. And like, and then they turn.
Basically, it's like, we also find out during this conversation, like they Googled each other. Yeah, they gave each other a Goog. And so they're basically kind of reciting. Which,
this is before Googling them was like a thing. So like, we looked you up on the internet.
Yeah.
Rather than saying I Googled you.
Yeah. Google, like.
I know.
Yeah, Google was not like a mainstream, like, it's search so engine.
Strange, though, yeah. to think about.
In 2003, like, it was not the thing.
But yeah, so they, especially for someone of their age.
Yeah.
The fact that they use that they instant message in this movie is amazing. Because mm-hmm. that's just like. Not a thing that you see someone of their age doing in movies.
No.
Even now. It's not, like, texting a little bit now, but nobody IMs really anymore anyway. But you know what I mean.
Well, yeah.
Because, like, we talked about You've Got Mail. Like, that being, like, such a strange, like, hearing the dial-up sound being a...
Yeah.
And, like, they have AOL Instant Messenger, and it's such a, like, moment to just go, wait, oh, yeah.
But at the same time, like, it doesn't... Because, like, it's not...
It feels natural within the story.
It does.
Yeah,
because this story does not hinge on the technology You've Got Mail does.
Yeah.
You know, like everybody, like they use their cell phones throughout the movie. And they use Instant Messenger, but you know, like at the time that this movie came out, like that was, you know, everybody had some kind of IM, whether it was AOL.
Yeah. And they didn't make it obvious it was AOL. They didn't mail it or anything. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
but yeah, you're right. It doesn't hinge on it, so it's cute.
It doesn't hinge on it. And it's like, yeah. And like, if you updated this to today, the only difference would be is that people have iPhones and that they would be using Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
Like, that would be the only difference. That would be the only
difference. I just really appreciated that moment of these people that you wouldn't expect would be using technology. Mm-hmm. They're both very, like, because they could have made a joke of that.
Mm-hmm. They could
of them being old and not able to use technology, and they avoid those jokes entirely, and I love that.
Yeah, I do too.
But anyway, so yeah, they instant messenger each other. It's super cute. But they're walking on the beach and they tease each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love that they have this like natural bantery relationship. Like, she's actually laughing.
Yeah,
like multiple times with him. It because it's all, a lot of it's done in a two shot, which is really brilliant.
Yeah,
because seeing how they interact with each other is super important to this movie. I love it.
They're having this whole conversation. You know, they've been having this very like pleasant exchange during this walk up down the beach, and you know they get to that flight of stairs, and him already having tried to ascend to them once and failing. He's like, I'm just gonna sit here for a little while. You know, like
watch the sunset.
Watch the sunset. He's like, oh, you know, well, why don't you, you know, hang out with me? And she kind of takes a look at her watch. And is like, no, I don't think I really have time. And he's like, well, you got a hot date. And she's like, not a date. And
with your doctor,
you know, with your doctor. And like, she's very kind of bashful about the whole thing. And she's like, you know, but it's not a date,
because she's just psychoanalyzed why he dates younger women.
Yes.
And so he just flips it and he goes, oh, so you'll get to feel like you're in control. And you're like, he does all the same things she just said to him.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh.
But I love, because, you know, because Harry, like, he's not a stupid man.
No.
And so he had this earlier exchange with Julian. And so when she says, you know, well, it's dinner, but it's not a date. And he just goes, does he know that?
Yeah.
Like, he gets it.
Yeah. And I just love the way he teases her.
Oh, yeah.
And so she goes on the dinner date. She comes out in this beautiful black dress.
Mm-hmm.
She looks amazing.
Yeah.
Even Harry is a little flabbergasted.
Yes, like both of their jaws just drop when she walks out in that little black dress.
Julian already thought she was beautiful, but then she comes out in this beautiful black dress. Because she wears a lot of turtlenecks, a lot of high neck stuff. And this dress is not. It's mm-hmm. not super low cut or anything, but it is like, it's a V-neck, a V-shape.
Kind of a wraparound dress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, he's excited to go out on this date. And I love that behind him, you see Harry give her a big thumbs up. Like,
yeah,
you got it. Like, maybe it was an okay. I don't remember. But he's like, yep, perfect.
Just
like,
kind of a gesture of approval. Yeah.
And they go out on the date, and she's very confused because she tells him, you know, you just want to be friends, right? And I love his response.
Like, honestly, no.
Every response on this date is golden. Every one of them.
I've got some of it down.
Yeah.
Because he, and she's like, you know, she basically just like comes right out and asks. She's like, you know, don't you think I'm too old for you? And he's like, I don't think it matters at all. She's like, well, you just want to be friends, right? And he's like, honestly, no. He's like, well, okay, well then what is it that you want? And he says, I think I'd embarrass you if I told you.
Yeah.
And
she like is trying really hard not to get embarrassed.
Yeah, and she, I can't, I didn't get the line in between it, but you know, she's basically like, you know, like, I don't like to even date like men my own age. Like, they're just not interested. Like, so what makes you interested? And like, his, basically like what he comes back with is like, men your age may be really stupid. Did you ever think of that?
Yeah.
And well, I'm just like, yes.
In the background, you see two women his own age walk by, and she's like, you could have any of these women.
Yeah.
Why me? She goes, are you not interested in girls your own age? He goes, no, I am interested in my own age, but you made me feel, but I don't feel about them the way I feel about you. And once I have this one down, when something happens to you that's never happened to you before, don't you have to at least find out what it is?
Yeah.
And that moment when he leans forward and kisses her neck.
Uh-huh.
Hachi machi. I think I said that out loud. I was like, yes, please.
Oh my gosh. Just the fact that you're finally using the words hachimachi.
I used it before.
No, I was like, you've finally been around me and your sister too much, and we listen to the McElroys too much.
But yeah, they do that, and like he kissed her and goes, I knew you'd smell good. And like that whole scene is just so
good. And the thing is, like, and, you know, I love that, like, what precedes the, like, when he kisses her on the neck is that, you know, he tells her, like, you're incredibly sexy, and she's just like, I'm not. Like,
no.
and I love that he's just basically like, you don't think so, but, like, I'm going to prove it to you. Yeah. And it's like, Jesus Christ, he is just so,
he's like, so into her.
He is so, like, completely, like, completely, like, want, like, all the way in. He is so smitten.
I'm going to repeat again. Julian deserves better.
Yes. Anyway,
not that there's anything wrong with Erica. I like Erica a lot, but she does one thing that ticks me off. And it does tick me off with the movie, but it ticks me off with the character.
It's the thing, like, we talk about, like, why, like, we hate love triangles is that either, like, they're completely pointless. They usually are. Like, yeah. They're completely pointless in that, like, there is, like, an obvious fucking choice. And that, like, I'm going to use the Vampire Diaries as an example.
Oh, no.
Because to me, I'm like, the fact that, like, everybody is like, no, Elena belongs to Damon. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, did you not see the entire, like, however many seasons before they got together and, like, the fucking toxic relationship that they had? What the fuck is wrong with Stefan? I'm like, he is a good person. Like, before we find out all this shit about him being a ripper.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, all of that stuff. And it was, like, before, like, everything just, like, started spiraling.
Yeah.
But, like, and everyone's just like, no, it's her. I'm like, why? Why is it, like, it's with, to me, like, it's, that is one of those examples. And, like, going back to, like, what we talked about, like, with Jack and Kate and Sawyer, it's like, are you fucking kidding me?
Sawyer's better. Anyway. But Kate's the worst, too. So I don't really care.
But, yeah, it's either, it's completely pointless and you have absolutely no stakes in it, or, you know, like, there is a glaring, obvious choice.
Well, but in this case,
the fact is, like, they are both good choices, but just in that fact of, like, the difference being is that for the first time, it's like, you have, or not for the first time, but, like, that one of these characters is just, like, they're both fine choices, and, like, they would both be, like, suitable choices, whichever one you decided, but the fact that, like, one of them did absolutely nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Like, Julian's only sin in this movie is being really into her. Mm-hmm. He deserves better in that.
Nancy Myers, when she talked about the movie.
Oh, my God.
She said, and this was, like, this, basically, I don't have it written down, but this is as close to the direct quote as I can get. She said that Keanu Reeves is the anchor in this movie.
Yes!
And I'm like, she goes, he's so underappreciated. She goes, I know when this movie comes out, he's going to be super underappreciated, and nobody's going to appreciate how much he does in this, but he's so important to this movie.
Yes.
And I was like, yes, he absolutely is. But anyway, so she comes home from the date feeling bashful. Meanwhile, in the house, Harry has, like, called Marin because he's lonely, and Marin's not answering the phone. Yeah. Neither is another couple of girls he calls. So he's wandering the house looking at a photo album of actual pictures of Diane Keaton from the 70s. Mm-hmm. Pictures were actually taken in Paris, which I loved that symmetry, because Paris is a whole thing with Erica. She's this new play. She wants it to be set in Paris.
It's not that she wants it set in Paris. She wants it to end in Paris.
Apparently, there's a deleted scene that Harry sings, I think it's Loving and Rose to her.
Yes.
Like that kind of thing is so Paris is a very like
karaoke.
Yeah.
Yeah, Loving.
Paris is a very like important feature in this movie. Mm-hmm. That's kind of undercut. I don't really talk about it a lot because it's when you watch it, you feel it, but it's not necessarily the most important thing in the movie. But yeah, so he's looked at these pictures of her. He fell asleep on her bed. So she's coming in and he's like, this is my favorite Jack Nicholson comedic moment in this movie. He falls off the frickin' bed when he hears her get home and then takes the photo album. And this was his call, apparently. Takes the photo album and tries to
smoothing the bed.
The bed. And to which Diane Keaton in the commentary goes, Jack has never smoothed the bed in his life.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's amazing. But yeah, so then awkward goodnights because he's now in his room and they say goodnight. And then they start instant messaging again. Yeah. and they decide to go have pancakes.
Basically, pancake pajama party in the kitchen.
And
I was going to make a point about this conversation. You know, like, they're having a good, and it's what I, you know, I've mentioned this before, and like a thing that like I love, like, in fiction, and like it being a mirror of real life, of like to me, there is something so like intimate and like sacred about like late night conversations between two people.
Yeah.
And like the fact that like that is happening here, and you know, they are opening up in ways they hadn't before, and like on a very, you know, soul bearing kind of intimate level, but like still having a very surface level conversation.
Yeah.
And they, and I can't remember what it is that she says, you know, but saying something that's like, you know, what Harry like must think of her.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, and he finally, you know, tells her, he tells her that he thinks that she's formidable.
Well, first is, what words have been invented to describe women like you? And then he starts using the words like formidable, that kind of
thing. Yeah. Well, it, you know, he says, you know, like, I think you're formidable. There's a whole lot more to this.
Yes. But
like that's basically the point of it, that he says, I think you're formidable. And he says, I think that you use your strength to separate yourself from everyone.
Yeah.
And I don't, and then, you know, this is, we've talked about in other respects, Levi Christ, the song I Should Go.
Yeah.
We've mentioned it a couple of other times. At that line, the Levi Christ song Hold You All Night popped into my head, because there's the line of, there's such a thing as being too strong. I was unaware I'd made myself into an island, too afraid to let you in too long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's Erica.
Yeah, that's very much Erica. And she tells him, I'm not sure if I hate you or if you understand me better than anyone.
Yeah.
And if you hate me.
If you hate me. Yeah, can't decide if you hate me or if you're the only person who ever got me.
And he goes, well, I don't hate you. And Marin walks in.
No!
But Marin is very swift. And Mom immediately, like, Erica's walls go right back up.
Yep.
Oh, and you watch it happen. Because Diane Keaton is brilliant. Yes. You watch it happen. And she backs out of the room and leaves, like, them to make the
Marin. Because, like, Marin just comes in like a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And it's very clear, like, you know, she was out at a party, and she got Harry's message, and he just sounded so pitiful. And so she decided to, like, leave this good time that she was having, but, like, you know,
And be there for Harry,
but, like, she's still getting, like, text messages from the party
and
phone calls from the party, and she's too distracted to, like, actually pay attention to what they're, you know, like, what's happening in the moment. And so while she is being this, you know, like,
yeah,
this very, like, brash isn't the word that I'm looking for, but just this, like, bubbly, like, exuberant young person standing in between them.
Yeah.
They have this silent conversation in just, like, facial expressions and a couple of hand gestures.
And she physically steps back.
And
then he goes, well, don't, she starts to leave, and he goes, well, don't you still want pancakes? And she's like, the stuff in her face is like, Diane Keaton is so amazing.
Yeah.
And she goes, no, I don't want pancakes anymore, and walks out. And meanwhile, Marin has started paying attention and makes it like, huh.
Yeah. Marin puts it together.
And so the next day she's like, I'm going to break up with Harry. But why? You know, Harry's, she goes, you're at least too old for me, and it'd be stupid to let it go on. And her mom's like, that's, you know, there's something about him. Yeah, he's so funny, you don't expect it. Like, she's feeding into her mom at this point. She's like, come on, Mom.
Well, and Marin says, like, kind of what I mentioned before. Is, like, Marin, she's like, this was never going to be a long-term thing. It's like, it was only ever going to be a fling.
Yeah.
It's like, but we never even got to that stage.
She's like, you're only saying you shouldn't be with him because you think I've slept with him. And I haven't slept with him. You haven't? And suddenly, even Erica is like, oh, really?
Yeah.
And so then...
Well, that's a horse of a different color.
So you see, like, Harry and Marin out on, like, the grassy hill behind the house, breaking up.
And Julian calls Erica.
I was going to say, Julian calls Erica and makes a date with her for Friday night.
Oh, I have to tell you, like, she answers the phone, and the thing that he tells her is, I've waited a reasonable amount of hours before calling you, even though you've been in my mind since I woke up at 5:15.
Yes, Keanu Reeves makes me a puddle in this movie. Like, I was just like, oh, he's so perfect.
It's like, I need, like, a spin-off of this movie. I need, like, the prequel. I need, you know...
I want the sequel, because I want to know what happened to him.
I just need a movie of, like, Keanu Reeves being this character.
Yeah, I love it. But yeah, So he calls her and then yeah, for
they,
Friday.
They make, yeah.
Because he goes, I'm not going to give you till next week, because if I wait till next week, you're going to find a way to postpone me and put me off.
Yeah, you're going to so we're not
doing
out.
That.
Yeah, so we're not doing
we're
that.
We're going Friday. And she's like, oh, okay, yes, that sounds great. Yeah. And she's only, like, she's making the date, but she's not really, like, because she's also watching Marin
and Harry.
And Marin comes in, like, all smiles, and she's like, he took it really well. He said that we were always destined to be friends. He was breaking up with me! He's so great!
It's like, he's got, yeah.
And she's like, I didn't even realize it until after. He's just so good. And she hugs her mom and leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And
we get
a montage of this picnic with Erica and Harry.
Yeah, the picnic, and now, you know, it's like while they're walking along the beach, Erica is picking up dark stones only.
Yeah.
And
then it starts to rain.
It starts to rain.
So they rush inside. Power goes out. It's very, like, the lighting is beautiful here. And I love how the kiss happens, because, like, the camera pans so you can't quite see what's going on. And then suddenly they're kissing.
Yeah.
And she pulled back. She goes, oh, I'm sorry, I kissed you. And he goes, I thought I kissed you. To which she then kisses him and goes, now I know I kissed you.
Yeah.
And it leads to them, like, getting ready to have sex. It's so funny. Like, sex scenes are normally, I'm just like, okay, fine, get it over with. But this one is so legitimately funny. And part of that is probably Diane Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
Yes.
Because, like, he's, like, kissing down her neck or whatever. He can't get past the turtleneck. So she says, cut it off me. Which apparently neither Jack or Diane thought was going to work. And
yeah.
They, like, we have to trust Nancy, because she's right.
Yes.
Because they cut the thing off, and then they're in the middle of other stuff, and she just goes, I need to take your blood pressure.
We should take your blood pressure.
And so then she's straddling him, taking his blood pressure, and it's like, what, 20 over 70? Throw it, and you see it land across the rafter, and then we cut to, like, outside the house and back in, and it's done. Like, best sex scene ever, because nothing actually happened. But it's so funny.
Oh, God.
But yeah, so they slept together. She starts crying because she was like, I thought I was closed up for business. And also she says she actually does like sex, which tells you she ain't had a lot of good experiences. And she was married for 20 years. That's sad. But yeah, so then he starts to cry because he's like, I had sex 3 days after having a heart attack.
That must be some kind of record.
And she just kind of rolls her eyes and lets it go. It's like, yep, uh-huh. And they both kind of admit this is going to be casual.
Yeah.
Because he goes, I don't do monogamous. And she's like, I barely know you. And they kind of laugh. But she ultimately, it turns out, is not good at casual.
Well,
like,
it's what she ends up telling him. She's like, she apologizes to him and says, I'm sorry, I don't know how to be intimate without being intimate.
Yeah. And so you have that, like.
Well, they end up, like, you know, in their robes, in the kitchen, you know, she makes eggs, and, you know, they're talking about Paris. You know, she's telling them, you know, like, I always wanted to have a play that ends in Paris, and, you know, all of,
and she loves Paris. Her favorite place is Cafe Colbert. Is that right?
Something
like that. And so she'll sit in the cafe, and she goes, when's your birthday? And he's like, mine's in January. Mine's in February. No, the other way around. February and January. We should go for our birthdays if we still know each other. And he's kind of like, his foot, and they're back at bed, and his foot is still on the ground. He's clearly, like, getting ready to make his escape.
Yeah, and he's just like, I should go back to my own bed. And that's when she has the line about, you know, like, I'm sorry, like, I don't know how to be intimate without being intimate.
And then she goes, I'm gonna take a pill and take one of your blood pressure pills, go pee, and come back and sleep, or come back to bed. And he goes, I think I'll go to my own room. And she goes, you usually send the girls home after, don't you? And she goes, no, it's fine. This has been an amazing time. And he's like, yeah, it has. He goes to his room. She goes back to lay down. And then he, like, sheepishly walks back in there and says, I'd like to try sleeping with you.
Yeah.
And they climb into bed together, and they sleep 8 hours, which is a huge thing, because they've never slept 8 hours in their lives.
Yeah.
And that, like, I love that whole, like, waking up together scene.
Yeah.
Because, like, they keep switching reading glasses, because, like, it's just It's just cute.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you have that whole thing. And then they sleep 8 hours together. He gets, and she walks to the kitchen to make breakfast. And he tells her as she walks out, "You are a woman to love." He doesn't say he loves her. So she walks, hallway.
Just "You're a woman to love."
She walks in the hallway and repeats it. And she goes, "What does that mean?" And then, you know, he gets the all clear from Julian. He can go home.
Yeah.
And they exchange "I love yous" as he's, he says, "I love ya."
He says, "I love ya." She's like, "Oh, I love you too."
If you meant it, if you meant you and not ya. And like, she kind of panic pedals, but
she goes neurotic about it.
But he's actually not like taking it wrongly. He panics a little.
He panics, but it's also like, okay, like,
just, I'm like, leaving. Like,
3 more minutes and I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's like, I'm leaving.
He's like, why?
But yeah. He does make it clear that he did enjoy his time with her. He does still like her.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of makes it seem like maybe they'll stay in touch, especially once she's back in the city, because they live in the same city. So, you know, we'll see what happens kind of thing. And he gets in his limo and drives away, and she waves him off.
Mm-hmm.
And then her daughter calls within minutes. Maren
calls having a meltdown.
Because dad's getting remarried to a girl that is 2 years older than Maren.
Yeah.
And Maren's freaking out. So, naturally, she's like, "Mom, I'm freaking out. Can you please come to the city?"
Yeah.
So mom goes into the city to be with her, forgetting Juliet in the process.
Yeah.
Because she has to go out to dinner with... She's like, "Dad's asking, making me go to dinner with him to meet the new child."
Wants me to meet the fiance.
Yeah, sister is
like, I can't handle it on my own.
Yeah.
Like, so I already asked, you're coming with me.
Girl is not okay with the situation because they're at dinner and she keeps making snide remarks about the age of this ear, nose, and throat doctor, which makes sense. I don't hold that against her.
You're 29, but, and your dad is marrying a 32-year-old.
Well, but I think she's also just freaking out because it's been... I found out in the commentary it's been 5 years.
Yeah.
And she's freaking out because her dad is getting married again to a woman he has known for a few months.
Yeah.
If that. No, it's only weeks, isn't it?
No, it's
a few months. But he's just now... I do think it's weird he's just now telling her after he proposed... I understand the freak out a little bit more that way, but she's also very immature when it comes to her relationships with her parents. And so, whereas at this point, especially for Erica, she's over her ex-husband.
Yeah.
Like he still directs her plays. Like there's no animosity between them. So she's like, okay, good for him kind of thing. And she's trying to be nice to the new woman. She's draining martinis.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, I'll give you a list of things he likes and doesn't like. And her ex-husband's like, or, you know, you can let her learn herself. That's okay. And then in walks Harry and some blonde.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the most beautifully, the most Diane Keaton perfect meltdown. Like, because Diane Keaton is so amazing as an actress. And this scene is hers. Like, this, yeah. She was nominated for an Oscar for this movie,
mm-hmm.
which is crazy. Because Nancy Meyer romantic comedies don't get nominated for Oscars.
No.
And she was nominated for an Oscar for her performance. And, like, because Harry follows her out the door when he sees her. He calls her on the cell phone because he's trying to kill me. Like, slow down. So she slows down and she talks to him. And they have this, like, I didn't get down much to it because I was just enthralled.
I didn't either.
But, like, they have this whole thing and she's like, I should have known better. Like she has this whole thing with him. And I'm trying to see if I wrote any of it down.
I basically, kind of like, what it boils down to is, like, you know, she's... He kind of, like, stops her and it's like, okay, you know, kind of in not so many words saying, like, what, like, this week, you know, this time that we had together, it was like, it was a whirlwind. Like, let's just, like, stop and take a minute and get our bearings.
I had these plans with this person before I ever met you.
Yeah.
So, like, and nothing was necessarily going to happen.
Yeah.
Except for that he has taken Viagra, so something was going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he has this conversation with her, like, let's slow down. Let's take it a little.
Yeah.
All new to him. He doesn't know how to be a boyfriend.
Yeah.
So he doesn't want to be because, I think he's terrified of it.
Well, yeah.
And she's like, I've written this scene, but I've never gotten it till now. And he's like, what do you mean? And she grabs him and kisses him and goes, this is heartbroken.
Yeah.
And pulls away. And, like, it kills me every time. And, you know, she gets into a cab and leaves. And he thinks he's having a heart attack again.
And nope, it's a panic attack, my dude.
It's probably a panic attack. Yeah, it's stress-related, all that kind of stuff. And then you also have that moment where the doctor says, if you were my dad, I'd have you at home in bed. And he's like, if I were your dad. Like, he's so annoyed by that. But then he does try to call her, goes to voicemail.
Yeah.
She, meanwhile, we also have the scene where Julian is waiting for her.
I know.
And, like, you see him hang up his phone. And then you have the waiter being,
oh, God.
TJ. Is it TJ?
Yeah.
TJ something. Hot. No, he's Hodgins on Bones.
Yeah.
But you have him.
Hodges,
Him as the waiter. The waiter, which is funny. Random thing for us. But he, you know, hands the Julian the thing. He says, do you want to order? He goes, I've been stood up. I'm already got the tie on. Might as well. And so he goes to order his food. And she gets home, listens to her messages. She's just scream crying because Diane Keaton.
Thus begins the sobbing montage.
And she's crying. It kind of softens a bit. And then she gets Julian's message. And she starts crying even harder.
Yeah.
And then she starts writing.
Yeah.
And she sob writes for this whole montage.
So much sobbing.
And then about halfway through a little bit over halfway through the montage, you get her sister is at the farmer's market. And the very handsome doctor is also at the farmer's market. And so she comes in, sis, I got you something at the farmer's market. And he walks in holding flowers. And he's like, I got these for you to give to me when you say you're sorry.
Yeah.
And it goes in this montage of them, like, laughing over food. And sister looking very, like, Zoe's looking very, like, self-satisfied.
Zoe's very proud of herself, which is like, I don't blame you.
Yeah. And then it gets to the scene in the kitchen. I love. Because she comes in and she's like, I'm so sorry. I meant to write you a note. Or he goes, well, that's really chilly. And she's like, well, I was really embarrassed. And she goes, is there any way you'd forgive me? And he says something like, say you're sorry.
Oh, it basically, he's like,
apologize. And she apologizes. And he goes, and then kiss me. And she's like, forgive me if I kiss you. Yeah. And she leans forward and, like, pecks him, and he goes, No one would forgive you
for that, like, kiss.
When she pecks him, the way he leans in, like, he's trying to linger.
Oh, yeah.
And so then they end up kissing, and you see that he is kind of installed as a fixture in her life.
Yes.
Going forward, because she finally finishes the script, and he's sitting on her couch reading it, and that's the scene I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, where he gets off the couch and chases her to the other room.
Well, it's, you know, perfect. Like, she, you know... Yeah, it's like, she, you know, we see her, like, coming out to the living room, and he's there on the sofa.
Yeah.
And, like, he's stretched out, like, he's very comfortable.
Yeah, and he's reading the play.
And he's got the script in his hand, and, like, and he is just, like, he's so, like, you can tell, like, he's excited by, like, what he's reading, you know, and, like, and he tells her, you know, it's the best thing you've ever written. And I love that, like, you know, she kind of, like, leans in close, and she's just like, you know, she's just like, what, really? And I just love that he has the line, he's like, how great is it for you that I'm not intimidated by your brilliance?
Yeah, he's turned on by it, not intimidated by it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when she pulls back. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, she's hesitant and, like, holding back with the kisses, and that's just a very quiet whisper of, like, must we go through this every time?
Like, it's okay.
Yeah.
And that's when he gets him a chaser out of the room, which is beautiful, because, like I said, so Diane Keaton didn't know that was coming, so that little squeal she gives is all Diane Keaton being chased by Keanu Reeves. But yeah, so
charming.
And then we see the play is being done, and Harry comes across.
I literally have, like, three sentences of notes after this, because at this point, I'm just like, oh, can we move this?
Whereas on? I'm excited, because to me, this is where it's getting even better. So the play is being put on, and he shows up in it, and... Or no, he's at a date. That's what it is. He's on a date with a girl, and she describes the role she's trying out for, and she describes him having the heart attack while he was with Marin, and he, like, full-on spit takes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes and sees, and's like, we need to talk. And they have this conversation, and she's basically like, I'm over you. Like, it's fine. You know, I'm glad you're doing okay, Harry. And he tells her, I love part of the scene, because he's like, I'm tired of worrying about you. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. You don't get out of my head. Like, nothing I do is getting you out of my head. Like, worrying about you is a full-time job for me. And she's like, well, that's not your job. You don't have to worry about me. He's trying to explain to her in every word he can, but he doesn't know how.
Yeah.
Because he does not
have the vocabulary.
Yeah. He doesn't understand what he feels.
No.
And he's a little pissed about the whole, like, our whole relationship is this play, mm-hmm. and she's going to kill him off in the second act.
Well, it's just funnier. He's
like, great, great. The funny jerk. I don't remember what the word is he uses.
I can't remember.
But yeah, he rides this line of being like incensed that she's putting this very personal stuff between them on display. And also like he deeply cares about her. Yeah. So he's trying to get that across and it's not coming across because he know words good. Mm-hmm. And so then he leaves the thing and he has another panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the doctor's like, find some, you know, picture somewhere peaceful and you need to find a way to de-stress and to, you know, unwind. And
yeah.
And so then it's like 6 months later, like he fades into this dream and it's 6 months later and you see him with a big beard showing up to visit Marin, and come to find out, later.
Yeah, first he, you know, like he goes to the theater and sees that Erica's play is called A Woman to Love,
and it's doing very well. Like it's still on, and you've got the little snapshots of the scenes on the front door that are all very familiar to us.
He just walks into the theater and he kind of opens the door and listens to like this uproarious laughter, and he just kind of.
He smiles his proud smile.
Like, yeah, he does.
And so then he visits Marin, and he's like, I just want to tell you, like, I'm sorry if I ever did anything that made you feel like you were manipulated. And she goes, Harry, you were always great to me.
Yeah.
And he gets this, like, relief.
Yeah.
He's like, this is the first time I've heard this.
Yeah.
Like, you have no idea how good that is to hear. Because we find out a little bit later in the movie, he has been on a journey of the exes. I don't really know what to call it. And
I wrote it down.
He's trying to figure out how he became the way he is.
The way that I put it down was like he's on his making amends tour.
Yeah, but he doesn't know that's why he's doing it.
Yeah.
He's going to find out why he is the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he has talked to all of the women, not all of, but a lot of the women.
All of the ones that he could find.
In his black books. And he gave closure to a lot of them, and a lot of them needed to tell him that.
The fact that he says, I gave closure to generations of women, I'm like, oh, like fucking pig.
But he's trying to overcome that. Like, he is actively trying to overcome that, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he talks to Marin, and Marin's like, well, mom's in, you know, Marin is now married and 3 months pregnant. I'm like, man, she moved fast.
She moved very fast.
And so, yeah, so he's very happy for her.
Yeah.
He's, like, so pleased for her. And then he kind of says, do you think I could see your mom? Like, do you think she'd be okay with that? She's like, well, she's in Paris. She'll be back next week. You should see her then.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he goes, you don't think I'd get in trouble? She's like, no, I think you should see her. And he goes, she's in Paris. And he grins, gets on the elevator, and we transition to
him
the plaza in
off.
Paris.
Yeah, him stepping off another elevator.
But now he's clean shaven. I mean, he looks as good as he can look to go see her.
Yeah.
He's you know, got a big coat on. Apparently,
well, and it's the difference. It's the difference of winter in New York, in which he's wearing basically like jeans and like heavy, like, you know, heavy, like leather, you know, not like, you know, not like nice leather gloves, but like those heavy
gloves,
those heavy like leather gloves. And he's wearing, you know, this big jacket and, you know, this scarf and like everything like that. He is like, when he goes to see Marin and like, and he is dressed for a brutal New York winter.
Yeah.
When he steps off the elevator in Paris, he is dressed for Paris. And
he is in a suit. And lovely coat.
He's wearing like a beautiful lavender scarf and like this tailored black coat. Yeah.
And he makes his way to the cafe she told him about.
Mm-hmm.
And there she is sitting there. It's for her birthday. And she's sitting there and he goes to sit with her, takes his coat off, hangs it up and sits down and starts talking to her.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins to tell her like what he's been up to. And as he's finishing telling her, Juliet arrives and she's like, oh, I was going to tell you, I'm sorry, I was just so engrossed in your story. And Juliet leans down and kisses her. And, and he's like, should have seen the end of your play. I'd have understood how this ended. Okay.
Yeah.
And Julian doesn't know exactly what's going on because he thinks she's over him.
It's like,
understandably,
Julian can kind of tell there's some.
Well, he obviously, yeah, he's read the play. He knows.
Yeah, he knows.
But he thought she's over him. Like, yeah, basically. So he's like, no, stay, join us. We're celebrating, yeah, her birthday. We're having dinner. Please join us for dinner. And she's like, yeah, you should join us. So he stays,
mm-hmm,
and they have a really good time. Like, food keeps getting brought out, drinks keep being drunk, and they're actually having a good, yeah, time.
The,
like,
three of them are having a good
there's,
time.
There's, yeah, laughter. The moment where Erica and Julian just look at each other and he kisses her hand and, like, oh, I love it so much.
Yeah.
And he gets, like, Harry gets this look in his eyes of, like, I really can't be here anymore. And then then the reading glasses come out.
Yeah.
And I
can't remember at what point in this does Julian give her.
Oh, yeah, when he first sits down, he goes, I looked all over the place, yeah, until I found the perfect gift, and says this little box.
This very, you know,
ring-shaped box.
Ring-shaped box.
But I don't know that that's what it was, because I think there would have been a little bit more to it if that's what it was.
I think if it were at a point where he was going to propose, like, it would.
He would have been like, yeah, Harry, see you later.
Wouldn't have been so much of, like, it wouldn't have been. He wouldn't have thrown in the towel as easily.
Yeah. Well, and there's this moment where they exchange glasses back, and there's this look in Julian's eye as they're looking at each other, and all of a sudden everything clicks together and he sees it.
Yeah.
And the rest of the meal, he's very, like, just letting them go.
Yeah.
And there's not much left, but enough that he's like, oh. And seeing him have, like, because we've talked about Keanu can be wooden.
Yes.
This moment is so good because you watch the pieces click together and him make a decision.
Yes.
In these moments. And like, just the, I'm really hurt. Oh, okay. But, okay. And
yeah,
they go their separate ways. He's like, we can take you back to the hotel. And apparently in the original script there, mm-hmm, they were going to be at a club, and Erica and Julian are going to be dancing on the dance floor as Harry walked away.
Oh my God, I need it.
But they're running out of shooting time. And she's like, and it didn't really fit. She goes, it didn't need to be there. It was beautiful, but it didn't need to be there. I'm like, it needed to be there for me. But
it needed to be filmed and put on a DVD for extras.
Exactly. But so Harry's like, I'm just going to walk back to the hotel. It's fine.
Yeah.
And they split up, and Harry goes and sits on the bridge, and he's crying, and Snow is falling. He goes, so I'm the girl in this story. Great. And he's not mad about it. It's just like, normally in a movie, he'd be the girl. Like, that would be where the female was at this point. And then you hear a car stop, and Erica gets out, and he tells her he loves her. And that's really all she needed to hear.
Yeah, I love, like, the line that he says, like, this is one of the last things that I wrote down, is, like, Harry tells Erica, it's like, the heart attack was easy to get over. You were something else.
Yeah, and then he asks kind of, what about Julian? And she says, he told me when he saw us together, he could tell I was still in love with you. So he's back in the hotel, he's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he says, I love you. She kisses him. And then we get, like, a cut to several months later, probably more like a year later.
Yeah.
And they are married because it's,
yeah, it's like Sanborn Party of Four.
Which, if they had started the movie with him, like, Sanborn Party of Two.
Yeah.
And then now we're Sanborn Party of Four and a Half.
Yeah.
And they're sitting down with the grandbaby because it's his grandbaby now. Let's just color that the way it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, apparently Amanda Pete was like, can I give him, like, in my dialogue, can't I, during the scene with Paris, can I give him a hint that he should go to Paris?
Yeah.
And Dance Parents like, no, because you know she's in Paris with Julian.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't want her if they're together. I want my mom and him together. And she's like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
No, by this time you would know Julian. You would not want to do that.
Like,
but Amanda Peeble's like, but I want them together. So, yeah, that moment when they're at the table and they're passing the baby around. I never thought Nicholson with a baby would be adorable.
Yeah.
And it super is. It's not creepy. The other thing that I wrote down.
Because, like I mentioned before, is, like, typically in, you know, typically, like, any other character that he's playing is, like, you know, like, any other Jack Nicholson character with a baby, he would be trying to, like, eat it for nutrients. Like, you know, with this. Like, there, like, one little thing that, like, I absolutely loved is that, you know, they have, you know, like, you know, the four adults, and, like, they're passing the baby around, and, like, and everybody's there is one moment where, you know, everybody's laughing and everything, And there's this one little shot of him, and he is absolutely beaming, and he is grinning ear to ear, mm-hmm. and you just see him kind of glance around the restaurant, and just kind of this, like, you know, just basically, like, mm-hmm. you can see, like, there is a, like, a level of pride in his expression of, like, you know, this is my family, like, look at my beautiful family, and, like, look how happy this is.
Yeah. Going back for just a second, because I just looked at my notes. On the bridge, my favorite line on the bridge is after she says, he said I was still in love with you, and she's like, well, I have to say that, and he goes, if it's true, my life just got made.
Yeah.
That line is
it's good. It's good.
And, like, like I said, for me, the only bad thing is we don't see what happened to Julian. We don't see the scene where Julian breaks up with her. I miss that because, number one, I just want more Keanu Reeves in this movie.
Uh-huh.
And he's the perfect dude. And that is both a good thing and a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, why would she be with Harry except for the fact that he's age appropriate when you have Julian, like, yeah. What more do you want? But, like, he's literally the best person in this movie. And yes. So, yeah, like, part of me is like, I wish we could have seen the scene where they broke up.
Well, like I said, like, there is a certain irony to the fact of, like, we just had this whole story about how, you know, how Harry spent the last 6 months giving closure to generations of women. And then we, as an audience, do not get closure on Erica's relationship with Julian.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know, I really like this movie, though. Like,
I do, too. And I
like the way that it does turn some things on its head, yeah. I enjoy. And, like, I enjoy that you know, he does go on this journey and actually changes as a person.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice. Because that doesn't always happen in rom-coms.
No,
it doesn't. And so I enjoy that both of them change as people mm-hmm. throughout the movie. Like, that's a nice story.
Yeah, they're character growth abounds in
this
movie.
Which is great.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, even not just, like, your two main characters, but that we see growth out of Marin, too.
Yeah. Because Marin and her mom have a really great conversation about how Marin needs to let go. And she's like, because her mom basically tells her, until you let go and let someone in, you're not gonna have the time of your life. I just did that. And yeah, I may be hurting really badly, but I had the best week of my life. I had the time of my life.
Yeah.
And Marin just quietly goes, I've never had the time of my life. And I love Diane Keaton's mm-hmm. lyrics. She goes, I'm your mother and I love you, but what are you waiting for?
Mm-hmm.
And then we know she's married and has this baby mm-hmm. and it's so good. Like, I love that whole, yeah, like, the only character that I think has no character growth that we see is Zoe. And that's because Zoe very much.
That is probably, like, other than, like, you know, Julian getting done dirty. other than that, like, probably, like, the big sin of this movie for me is that I'm like, Frances McDormand does not get enough to do.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh my God,
Myers brought that up too, and she was talking about, she goes, Frances is a friend of mine, she goes, and I knew she'd be perfect in this part, I wish that she got more to do, but she had to cut a lot of stuff. Once again, she cut 45 minutes from this movie. Can you imagine almost 3 hour long rom-com? That's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, the other thing I like about this movie is both Harry and Julian are never intimidated by her intelligence. Not a single time. And, like, that is super nice to see mm-hmm. that neither guy is intimidated by it. It's not just the one guy, and that's the guy she winds up with. It's neither guy is intimidated by it. Both have no problem with the fact that she's a successful woman. Like, that...
Yeah.
The only thing with Harry is how old she is the only thing that bothers him.
It's rare in a romantic movie that, you know, because, like, a lot of the movies that we see, like, there's some sort of you know, female metamorphosis into, you know, she's all that and, you know, pretty woman and, you know, even, like, going back to, like, you know, like, the Princess Diaries and stuff like that, you know, there is always something of, you know, we have this diamond in the rough, like, this, you know, this wonderful girl with these rough edges, and, like, we're going to, you know, we're going to polish her into something great, and now she meets our standards. And the difference being, of, like, this movie, it's, like, it's not a girl, it's a woman.
Yeah.
like a mature woman.
Uh-huh.
And the fact that like there is not one but two men in this movie who like bow down to like her intelligence.
Yeah.
Like it's not something you see.
And the character that gets the makeover and the polishing is the male character.
Yeah.
Which is so nice. Like I think that's one of the things I love about this movie is it's so not what you anticipate.
Like it is a movie written by a woman for women.
Yeah.
Is like that is specifically what this movie is.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like this movie, like despite the fact that you know it is very much about Harry and his character. You know, this movie like it does not have time for men, for lack of a better way of putting it.
Well, I mean, Nancy Myers mentioned it in the commentary. The first shirt you see Zoe wearing is Boys Lie.
Yeah.
That's the first shirt you see her wearing. So, like, it tells you going into it, okay, this movie is not about the male. Like, it's not about the man so much. It is in the extent of we watch Harry change because he realizes what a douche nozzle he is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyway, so I think they stay together because they're married.
Yeah.
Same, I assume. So what do you rate this movie?
I'm giving it a solid 4.
I'm going 4.5.
Yeah.
The not resolving Julian, I think, is the thing that brings it down to a 4.5 instead of, like, a 5. Because it is one of my favorite rom-coms. I'd forgotten how much I liked it until I watched it again today. But, yeah, it is, I would say, 4.5 for me. There's a couple of other little things that we didn't really get into. But yeah,
for me, the only reason I'm not giving it a 4.5 is that just at this particular moment in my life, like at the time that I was watching it, I was just like, I am so tired.
You wish it was snappier.
It was a little.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Like it had moved.
People probably wish that about us frequently.
Yeah. Well, you know, our audience of 4.
Yeah, well.
They can deal with it. But, yeah, like I said, at times, like, I wish, like, it picked up the pace just a little bit.
Yeah, that
I
mean, makes sense.
Like, a 2-hour, like a 2-hour romantic movie, like, it's a lot.
Yeah.
In that, and, like, I know, like, any other time, like, I would be harping on the fact that, like, you know, like, oh, a 90-minute wrong, like, it's not long enough. But
this particular one,
I'm mercurial. Like, what can I say?
Part of it is like I said before. Part of it is you talk about needed to breathe, and I'm like, yeah, but in this movie, we're waiting for Jack Nicholson to catch his breath half the time because of just the way the nature of the movie is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't have the same like feelings, which is probably why I have a 4.5 on it.
Yeah,
there's a couple of, like itty bitty like I'm not really gonna complain about them things that makes it not be a 5 for me. One of them is the fact that I can't watch this movie with my mother ever
because
they drop the F-bomb twice in it, so that means mom's out. Mom's out completely because they can't. But yeah, like, and honestly, one of them I didn't feel was really necessary. Like, that's the only language in this movie. Like, there's not that much language in this movie.
No, not really.
When it does happen, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, that felt weird. I don't mind it. It's there. It's the way people talk. It just felt funky when there's not a lot of other, you know what I mean? It just felt funky to me. I don't know why. But like I said, 4.5 for me. I really like the movie.
Like I said, I'm giving it a solid 4.
Yeah, which is way better than we've given a lot of other movies.
Oh, God, yeah.
And Keanu Reeves is best. Like, we know that.
Absolutely. I'm like...
Anyway, did you have anything else to say about this?
No, I am good. I have nothing else to add. So I think that we'll finally get it for this episode of Couch Buddies. As always, we thank you very much for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye. If you enjoyed this episode of Couch Buddies, why not leave us a rating and review over on iTunes? And while you're at it, don't forget to hit the subscribe button on your podcast app so you never miss an episode. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us by searching on social media. We're Couch Buddies Pod on Twitter, on Tumblr at couchbuddies.tumblr.com, and you can email us at couchbuddiespod@gmail.com.